Tango Tango Papa 1692, October 21st, 2012.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon from Reuther Glen, Virginia. So I ended up unloading early this morning at, it's either Fredericksburg or Falmouth, Virginia, whichever, you know, there was a bit of confusion as to what the actual address was. It's one of those places, it was easy to figure out, but it was one of those places that I run into from time to time that it may actually have a, there may be a Falmouth, Virginia. I don't know. It won't show, it shows up on the GPS, if, you know, kind of in the map. If I, you know, there's sort of a little map mode on my Garmin GPS. So Falmouth, Virginia shows up in that, but it doesn't show up otherwise. If you try to type it in as a city, it just doesn't show up. But the address shows up perfectly as with Fredericksburg. And so what tipped me off was my information that came across the Qualcomm said Falmouth, Virginia. But then the actual paperwork said, had the same exact address, but it said Fredericksburg. So, it's just one of those places. I run into that from time to time where, especially if there's some small little, I don't know if it's even a town, that's part of a bigger town, then it there's a little bit of confusion as to, you know, if it's actually, the little town or the bigger town that it's part of. And I think that's the case with this. So, but in any case, I was able to unload early this morning, and then it turned out there was a Hardee's nearby that had truck parking, and so this morning after the load was unloaded, I was able to go and park in the Hardee's and then go to bed, because I'd basically been up a good chunk of the night. Wasn't, you know, just because of the way it worked out, it had a very early unload appointment. And so I slept a good chunk of the day today, and then I went ahead this afternoon after I woke up. I went ahead and come on down here to Reuther Glen. There's a Flying J truck stop, and then they've got me assigned, the next load that I'm assigned to picks up tomorrow morning in Fredericksburg, and then that delivers the next morning, I believe, up in Plainfield, Connecticut, I believe. So anyway, before I go on, I want to talk a bit about GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. You know, the very best applications, whether they're apps on your phone, your smartphone, or if they're applications on your computer, or if they are applications that are just built into web browsers, or even if it's a business, a real world physical business. But you know, concentrating on applications or services, what those do, they take elements that are useful and combine them. Maybe they're collaborative elements, elements that really go together, and they combine them into a service. And you end up with something that is greater, really, than the sum of the parts. And that's the case with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. To be successful in business, you need to be able to meet with your team regularly. Whenever you need to, wherever you are, discuss plans, share ideas, and bring them to life. But with clients and colleagues working from different offices or on the go, meeting face-to-face is often not possible. That's unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. GoToMeeting with HD Faces gives your team the ability to share the same screen, making it easier to be on the same page. And when you meet face-to-face, you're most likely to see eye-to-eye. It's so easy to launch or join a meeting from anywhere. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for the special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting, meeting is believing. So, takes care of that. Let's see here. there we go. It'll go away now. I'm using the past two or three podcasts, I've been using this this MacBook that I have, and the 13-inch one, and it's a little bit slow. Let's see. There it went. It's a little bit slower than the other one, but it doesn't take as much electricity, and we get away from that screaming inverter. It'll beep just once in a while with this machine, but with the other machine, it's guaranteed that it's just gonna drive me crazy, and I'm sick of listening to it. So I can put up with a little bit slower computer, and we get away from the inverter noise. So anyways, the weather here is pretty nice. It's getting down into the high 30s or low 40s last night. And then this afternoon, it's in the high 60s right now. Of course, the sun is out at the moment. It's been out all day. The skies are clear here. And so, as long as the sun's out, it seems warmer than what it probably actually is. And then once the sun goes down, then it does kind of cool off. So, but it's pretty nice weather. Can't really complain about the weather. This is probably approaching about as ideal weather as you can get. Apart from it getting a little cool at night, during the day, it's really fabulous. So, of course, the election, is getting closer all the time. And, again, I've been saying for a while, I may be wrong. My gut tells me Mitt Romney wins. And, the polls are beginning to reflect that now, but I've kind of known it all along. Now, again, I might be proven wrong, but I just have to say what my gut tells me. And I know there are people that are trying to say that the Democrats and the Republicans are all alike and so on and so forth. Forget about that. Forget about the... both parties end up being corrupted. Every organization, to one degree or another, every organization that you can name is corrupted. I don't care what organization it is, it's corrupted because what is it? It has corrupt people in it. What are organizations? Are they names? Are they buildings? No, they're made up of people. And those organizations end up becoming corrupted because people... to varying degrees, we're all corrupted. None of us are perfect. And many of us are actually not perfect, but we're corrupted. And so that's how things, you get too many of those people in an organization, and then the organization really becomes corrupt. And so... you have to then, kind of forget about the organizational structures. And, we're voting for president at this point. Which one has the better character? Not which one is perfect. Neither one of them, neither Barack Obama or Mitt Romney are perfect. They're not perfect. But which one of them has a better character? And to me, the difference is night and day. Even though Mitt Romney's not perfect, he has a better character. He has a much, much better character. And the thing that I see about Mitt Romney, he has a willingness to look at his own flaws. Now, and Obama does not. Obama is arrogant. Obama is every other word out of the man's mouth is a lie. And when the lie doesn't work, then they come up with a new lie. Now they're, you know, that with this Benghazi thing, now they're saying that, well, we could see the drone, we could see the thing happening, but we just couldn't respond fast enough. That's their story now. They keep switching stories. When they've had three or four stories now, and then they keep switching it around. When one of them doesn't work, they switch to a new one. And then, so this is the very late. This seems to be the very latest one that they could see it happening in live in real time, but with the ambassador being killed and what have you, and the attack on the embassy or the consulate or whatever it was, but they just couldn't respond quickly enough. And that's, of course, it's a lie, but it's designed to they keep trying to throw things against the wall to see if something will stick, and it won't. But so in any case, Mitt Romney, although he's not perfect, none of us are, he has a better character. Clearly, and it's clearly visible to me. I can see it. And if you can't see it, or you know someone that can't see it, or you can't see it yourself, you got a perception problem. You know, and it's time to look at yourself, because if you can't see the difference between, it's a night and day difference from a character standpoint, from Barack Obama to Mitt Romney. If you cannot perceive that difference, if you don't instantly see that difference, you've got some serious perception problems going on. And it's time to begin to look at yourself. Because if you can't see a difference, then your life is going to end up in real turmoil, and it's probably already is in turmoil. You've probably had a life of turmoil, and because if your perception is that dysfunctional, is so dysfunctional to the point you can't see a difference between the character of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, then, as I say, you've got some real problems, and you will, and if you won't look at yourself, you will become progressively worse, and your life is going to end up in a progressive degree of turmoil, or you're into a progressive, a more and more sort of hell on earth type of life. And, but that's, my suggestion, look at yourself, cause that's, if you can't see the difference, that's an indicator. If you can't see a difference between the character of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, you're not looking at yourself. And if you think you have, you've been fooling yourself. So, in any case, in the last podcast, I was talking about the Ten Commandments. And that's one thing that we could all agree on, is the Ten Commandments. What has made America great in the past, we were, all of these people from all these different countries gathering in one place, forming one country, becoming one people, and what forged all these different ethnicities in America into one people was the idea of one nation under God. But it was more than just an idea, it was a reality. And the reality was able to, even though it wasn't perfect, it's never been perfect, the thing was able to happen because you basically had decent people kind of following those Ten Commandments. And that's really the thing that we can all unite on. Now, people that want socialism, or they think somehow socialism's good, or that government needs to do all these wonderful things for us and it needs to be bigger and what have you, and you worship at the feet of government, you're breaking the very first command. You know, and then you claim to be religious, claim to believe in God and so on and so forth, and try to be a good Christian, quote unquote. But there's a big disconnect going on, because the very first commandment, what does that say? You shall have no other gods before me. And what you're doing, if you think that the government is a solution somehow, what you're doing, you're violating that first commandment. And that first commandment's probably the most important one. But you are violating it. So no other gods before me means no other gods. And what with socialism, communism, people are trying to turn government into a god. You know, and it doesn't matter what you call it. You know, big government is, the idea of big government is man trying to create his own god. And of course, it sort of uniting in their sins and uniting in sort of not, you know, explicitly not following the Ten Commandments. Because if you're willing to break any of the commandments, you're probably breaking all of them. Again, you know, none of us are perfect, but what you have to have is a willingness to look at yourself, a willingness to allow reality to catch up with you. And if you don't have that willingness, by definition, you're going to be driven to sort of, unite externally with other people that are driven in the same way. And you end up, basically you end up with hell on earth. You end up with a kind of Baal worship, whether you want to look at it that way or not. You're worshiping the wrong god. You become externalized. You're not genuine. You're programmed. But of course, you have the illusion that you're a genuine person, and you're in control of your own mind and your own thoughts, and you're not. You're wind up. You're a wind up robot, wind up human being, fake human being, not real. Part of a mob. When I was, before I left Fredericksburg up there earlier, I was parked at this Hardee's. They had truck parking behind the Hardee's. So before I left there, I went in and got something to eat. I got a sandwich. And so I ate the sandwich there. And then after that, at that same exit, there's a Blue Beacon truck wash. There used to be a truck stop there, a TA truck stop there a few years ago that had been there for years at Fredericksburg at that exit. But it was kind of old and ratty, and instead of redoing it, they tore it down and sold off the property and put in a Target, I don't know, a few years ago. And so there's this fairly new Target store that's there, that's been there for a few years, two or three years. And but the Blue Beacon truck wash is still there across the street, and they've got enough business where they've been able to stay open. So the truck wash is still there. But the truck stop is gone. It's long gone. So, but in any case, I was able to get the trailer washed out. But In any case, when I went in that Hardee's and I had my sandwich, so I sat down and there was this family, a man and a woman, older man and woman, and they had obviously they had their son with them, and he was Down syndrome. And it kind of reminded me of my cousin. I had a cousin that's now dead. He was a little bit younger than I am. I'm 57. He died, I don't know, probably a couple of, you know, maybe a year or two ago. His name was David, and he was Down syndrome. And so this I don't know how old this Down syndrome guy was. You know, he was with his parents, and I would say maybe he was in his 30s, probably. But in any case, looked very similar, and you know, just kind of sitting there looking, and it kind of reminded me once again that you know, what is it that, you know, there seems to be a war against Down syndrome people, Down syndrome babies being born. You know, the idea, you know, oh, we have to, you know, we find out it's Down syndrome, we've got to abort it. You remember the thing with Sarah Palin? You know, how dare she bring a Down syndrome baby into the world? And I can tell you what it is. And, you know, I talked about this before. Down syndrome person, you know, you got a human form there. But I believe, and it's my belief, that they're innocent. Inasmuch as they cannot judge. There's no judgment there. As far as judging, as far as resenting, as far as animosity toward the world around them, toward their own existence, there's no animosity. And that really bothers. Who does that bother? That bothers the people that won't look at themselves. It bothers the people that want to see everyone else sharing in their animosity. They want to see everyone else just as agitated and miserable as they are. And a Down syndrome person, if you've ever spent any time around them, they are not, they have no animosity. You know, we look at them as being, you know, they've got some sort of mental disability. They're just not as smart as we are. Somehow they're not as capable as we are. And there's this tendency for normal, so quote-unquote normal people, to look at a Down syndrome person and think, well, oh, you know, there's something wrong with them, but they should resent it. They should know somehow that there's something wrong with them, and they should resent it. And they don't. There's no resentment there. They cannot judge. Whatever mechanism that we use to judge, that we use to sort of facilitate our own animosity, it just isn't present in a Down syndrome person, from what I've seen. And that really bothers. Who does that bother? That bothers people that are filled with animosity for, you know, for everything around them, their own existence. They're filled with animosity. They hate existence. They hate God. They hate the world. They hate their fellow human beings. And here's an example. You know, Down syndrome person, human form, they're not resenting. They're just, you know, they're just pleasant people. And they're not faking it. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they seem to be pleasant, but they're faking it. And you can see that. Of course you can see it. So that's why there's such a war against Down syndrome babies in particular. that's really what drives it. You know, I've been, yesterday and today kind of driving around, you know, because I had to drive around Washington, D.C., and I'm in Northern Virginia at this point, and I'm not seeing any Obama signs, even around Washington, D.C. I had heard, well, now I wasn't right in Washington, D.C., drove around it, through the Maryland and then Virginia areas, kind of around the west side of it, 495. But I'm not seeing any Obama signs. I'm not seeing a whole lot of Romney signs either, but I do see Romney signs. Even around Washington, D.C., I was seeing Romney signs. And here in Virginia, I'm seeing Romney signs. Now, I'm not seeing a whole lot of political signs. Normally, whenever you approach an election, you start seeing all, especially in some areas, local areas, you'll see political signs plastered everywhere. And I'm just not seeing it this time. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. But I am seeing Romney signs. I'm seeing... people have painted tractor trailers that are parked on their business property, sort of using them as billboards. You know, and it'll either say something about Romney or more typically, got to get rid of Obama. You know, there's just this anti-Obama sentiment. People see what Obama is, what he represents, and want no part of it. So, but it's very interesting. I've over the past number of months, I've seen very, very few Obama signs, and I'm not seeing them. Driving around Washington yesterday, and then here in Northern Virginia, I am not seeing them. And you would think that if there were going to be Obama signs, this, you know, especially around Washington, that would be the area, because the city itself has benefited, you increase the size of government, that's government city, and that's what they should change the name of it to. You know, because they've besmirched the name of George Washington. They need to change the name of it to government city or something. Big government city, but it's Washington, D.C., the whole area around it has benefited from the big government thing. And so you would think that there'd be Obama signs all over the place, and there's not. It's very interesting. So a while ago I was looking at the Drudge Report, and there was this thing, I think it was in the UK, and people were protesting against austerity, the idea of austerity. What is austerity? And there are people that want to blame the banks. So these evil bankers have taken all of the money, and they want the taxes and so on and so forth. What is austerity? It's actually very simple. You have people that work and people that don't. And you have people that are encouraging rotten morals. Violation of those Ten Commandments. Why are they encouraging that? Because the same reason that they want to destroy abort every Down syndrome baby that they can. Misery loves company. And so as you do that, what happens? You end up with fewer people working. It says right in there in that Genesis story, man shall work by the sweat of his brow. We have to work. As human beings, we have to work. And work is actually good for us. It's actually good to work. Not to be a slave, enslaved to your work, but it's good to be able to voluntarily work and support your own existence. But it has to be voluntary in order for it to be a good thing. So socialism, communism, big governmentism, tries to prevent that from happening. It's kind of like a snake eating its own tail. It tries to stop people from working, stop people from having to work by the sweat of their brow. And so therefore, you end up with fewer people working, fewer people producing. Well, those people that aren't producing still want all the stuff. They still want to have the benefits of work. They still want to have the fruits of labor, but they don't produce any labor on their own. They're not producing any goods and services on their own, but they still want the fruits of goods and services. But there's just not as much. Because they're not producing, and their friends around them aren't producing. You know, so they're protesting austerity. Well, the austerity, they've caused the austerity. Because they're not producing anything. They've caused it. And yet they're mad. They're angry. They're outraged. They want someone else to give it to them. But it's not possible because they haven't produced anything. The more people that you idle, the less there is to go around. It's pretty simple. You know, and forget all the arguments about the bankers and it's all their fault and it's someone else's fault because I don't work. Someone else's fault because I don't produce anything. Nonsense. It's your own damn fault. You know, so the real answer is for us to go back to morality. The real answer is for us to reunite around those Ten Commandments. And I don't care what brand of religion you have, you know, and you can be some, you know, person that goes to church, you know, every Sunday and every Wednesday, and you think you're a good person and so on and so forth. And if you're violating those ten, if you've got this disconnect going on in your mind, and you're violating those Ten Commandments, you're not a moral person. You're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. So again, the answer is for you to look at yourself. And so it's very likely, as I've said before, and it, you know, doesn't really matter, you know, if Obama gets elected, it's going to be worse. I think if Romney gets elected, when Romney gets elected, it's not going to be as bad, but it's still going to be bad. Because what we've done as a society is, you know, allowed so large of a percentage of our population to become dysfunctionalized, encouraged it, and allowed it to happen. There's a price to be paid for that. And so it's going to end up becoming very unpleasant for a bunch of people. A bunch of dysfunctional people are going to end up if they haven't already, they're going to end up in that much more pain. So the situation is going to become more extreme. The real answer is to get as many people back to working as possible, producing goods and services. That is the real answer. But beyond that, you know, that's from an economic standpoint, but beyond that, we have to go back to our morals. Our morals have to revive. And again, it goes back to the Ten Commandments. And facing those Ten Commandments fairly and squarely, you know, I want... But you also, you know, those Ten Commandments are sort of like a framework to keep you from falling farther. But beyond that, I want to have a good relationship with my Creator. Because I see where a bad relationship goes. See the folly of that. But I want the identity that comes from my Creator. It's my choice. I want it. So therefore, I won't do anything to violate that relationship. And I really can't, you know, it's kind of ironic, really can't do anything to violate that relationship. Because it's just not in me. You know, once you make that step, you know, and it's kind of a mysterious thing that I've talked about it before a couple of years ago. Really, it maybe is when it happened, but it there was this point where I suddenly kind of realized that you want to call it peace of mind or whatever. Really had this sort of a peace of mind, for the lack of a better way of describing it, sort of snuck up on me, and I kind of realized one day, well, what happened? And I know that regardless of what happens, that can't be violated. That peace of mind can't be violated. And so it doesn't, you know, economic circumstances, so on and so forth, you know, they might be a little irritating from time to time, but that peace of mind cannot be taken away. That relationship cannot be violated. By any kind of external circumstance. And I wish that other people were able to experience this. But you have to want to. You really have to want to. If you go to my website, truckertompodcast.com, up at the top, I mention it once in a while, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that. There are about 4 files I have hosted on my server. 3 of them are from Roy Masters, and then 1 of them is me. And those files will teach you sort of the basics of learning to meditate. You know, and this is a meditation that Roy Masters came up with. Very simple. It teaches you. You know, you practice sort of staying out of your thoughts. You, whoever you are, whatever we are as human beings, we are not our thoughts. We think we are. There's this illusion. we believe that we are, that our personality is our thoughts, or, you know, that we are our thoughts. And that's not true. Whatever we are as human beings, we have this point of awareness. And this meditation exercise will help you keep, you know, hold your point of, whatever that point of awareness is, hold that apart from your thoughts. And you're not clearing your mind or trying to think of nothing or repeating some stupid word over and over again, or, you know, mantra or some jingle, you know, some music, because music is a mantra too, or it can be. Nothing really wrong with music or entertainment, but unless you misuse it. But anything, of course, can be misused. Turned into a distraction from reality. But in any case, this meditation technique, it's very simple. You have to try, you have to commit to it. If you find that it helps you, then you better stick with it. Don't simply play around with it, but stick with it. And it can help you learn how to separate yourself from your thoughts. Salvation is not an instant process. You don't simply, you know, I beg to differ with a lot of Christians that think that you can just recite a few words and then all of a sudden you're saved, quote unquote. Saved from what? If you're saved, how do you know you're saved? You know, and then they have this whole intellectual thing that they go through. Oh, well, if you do this and you do that, step one, step two, step three, step four, whatever, then you're saved. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. I hate to break the bubble. I hate to break your bubble, but it doesn't work that way. You know, you go through some emotional thing, sort of an externalized emotional experience, especially if you have you're in a church and you have all these other people around you, and you know, and it's like they accept you somehow. You've just transferred to a new false god. Sorry. Real salvation is not emotional. So in any case, that is there on the website. TruckerTomPodcast.com, link up at the top, meditation. You can, there are MP3 files. Listen to them on your computer, download them, burn them onto a CD, download them to your computer, to your phone. You know, phones are, you can do that too. Put it right on your phone. Absolutely, put it right on your phone. Any playback device you want. Ideally, you use that meditation, and then you can learn to do it yourself. You don't need those files anymore. Learn to do it on your own. And then ultimately, what does it say? The Bible, basically, there's a verse somewhere, it says to should pray unceasingly. What does that mean? Did you go around muttering a bunch of words over and over? No. It has to do, in my opinion, it has to do with the point of awareness and kind of how you relate to the world and the relationship you have with your Creator. So that's there. Give it a try. Can't hurt you. Can't promise it'll help everybody, but it will help. I do believe it will help most people. So, I mentioned it, I've got this MiFi from Verizon. And I'm having a bit of problem with it now. It's disconnecting. And I'm sure that, normally you'd have disconnections, but it's not, I guess the problem is it's not always automatically reconnecting. Sometimes it'll disconnect and then I have to go over to it and tell it to connect. I have to actually, it's got a little LCD screen, and I actually have to go into the menu and connect it again. And it didn't do that initially. So I don't know. There may be some kind of a problem. I'm going to have to call Verizon and find out sort of what's going on. But, and it may go several hours before it does that. So it's kind of a perplexing problem. Not sure exactly what's happening with it. But I'll contact Verizon and see if they can, because there may be something that they can have me do to reset it beyond simply taking the battery out of it and then putting it back in. By the way, there's this app called Snag Films. There's probably a website as well, but if you've got an iPad or even your an Android device, Android phone, or an Android tablet for that matter. There's this app called Snag Films, and there are a bunch of films on there, especially independent films, in particular documentaries. So last night I ended up watching three documentaries on there, and they've got a bunch of stuff, and it's really found it interesting. Now, some of that stuff may be somewhere else. They do have ads that they pop in there. Every so many minutes you get an ad, but the ads aren't all that obnoxious. They pass quickly. I never timed the ads. They may not be any more than about 7, maybe 10 seconds or 15 seconds at the most. They're pretty quick, and then you go right back to the content. And so, but I'm finding stuff on there. There may be some overlap. Some of those films you may find in other places, but some of it's exclusive to Snag Films. And so there's some really interesting documentaries on there. So you might want to check out Snag Films and just look that up in the App Store or in the Google Google Play Marketplace. Snag Films. And there's, as I say, there's probably a website, and it's also a Roku. I believe there's a Roku app for Snag Films as well. But pretty cool little application, and great content. Really, we'll probably end up watching some more of that this afternoon. So while I'm waiting, because the load that I'm picking up tomorrow, the tomorrow being the 22nd, Monday, picks up tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Time there in Fredericksburg. And as I say, it goes to Plainfield, Connecticut. So anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. Hope everyone is having a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.